I'm Coach Corey Wayne, and this is my video coaching newsletter. And the topic of today's newsletter is going to be, never feel sorry for yourself. Well, I got an email here from a guy who's disabled, he's in a wheelchair, and he has spina bifida. You can Google that on the internet if you want to see what it's about. But what's interesting is that he's taking his situation and looking at the fact and saying, oh, I'm disabled, I have a disability. At what point do I start apologizing to the women I meet because of my disability? As if there's something wrong with him. Yeah, he's physically different than other people, but part of his problem is the story that he's made up and that he tells himself is he's not worthy of having what he wants. And so every time when he starts talking about his disability in a way that he's somehow ashamed of it, or he's not good enough, or a broken man, if you will, he gets friend-zoned, and he never gets anywhere. So he's like, basically, hey, Corey, give me a story that I can tell women so they don't feel sorry for me and want to date me instead of dumping me. So I've got a quote that I wrote on this topic, and I'm going to go through his email. And the quote says, one of the smartest decisions you can make in life to help yourself become more successful in every area of your life that is important to you and attract the kind of people and circumstances that your heart desires is to love and accept yourself as you are right now in this present moment. As Einstein once said, all of us have one fundamental decision to make in life. Do I live in a friendly or a hostile universe? The way you perceive yourself is exactly how you will cause others to perceive you. In order to get where you want to be in life, you must focus on what is great about you and your life right now instead of doing what most unsuccessful people do, which is to focus on their shortcomings and what they are lacking. What you focus on will expand. By focusing on what is already great in your life right now and seeking to make it better, you will move yourself and your life closer to where you really want to be. So let's go through his email. He says, hey Corey, I used to be a very shy guy in my younger years, but I've learned to open up to women. However, I have this one big problem. I'm disabled in a wheelchair with spina bifida. I know how to get most women interested in me, but it seems like every time I bring up that I'm disabled, they automatically put me in friend zone, or they use me to get what they want, and after they get it, they make up excuses to leave me. So what that tells me is that you're looking for a way to apologize for who you are. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't change the fact that you're in a wheelchair and you got spina bifida. That is just, those are the cards that you've been dealt. And you can't change that any more than, like, I got freckles. I was born with freckles, and I got teased fucking mercilessly when I was growing up. And when I was younger, I was ashamed of that. And I felt like there was something wrong with me because I had so many freckles compared to most people who didn't have any freckles at all. Hey, connect the dots. Hey, shells in the beach. Those were things that I used to get hollered at in the hallways of school, you know, for a lot of years. And a lot of years, I felt that there was something wrong with me because of that. And I thought, oh, girls aren't going to like me because I got fucking freckles. And most people don't have freckles, so there must be something wrong with me. And then as I got a little older and in my 20s, there were a few girls who were like, I really like your freckles. They're kind of cute. I was like, cute? A girl thinks my freckles are cute? That was a new experience for me because everybody had always made fun of me up until that point. And once I started to love and accept myself and say, you know what, my mother had freckles, not a fucking thing I can do about it. It is what it is. Whatever. When I stopped giving a shit, when it no longer bothered me, when it was just part of who I was, I never really looked or saw them anymore. Or when people made fun of me, like, damn, dude, you got a lot of freckles on your back. I was like, well, it is what it is. It's like shells on the beach, man. I use humor about it. I think it's funny. I use self-deprecating humor. I don't take that shit personally. I don't get butthurt about it when people make fun of the way I look or the hairstyle that I have or the way that I'm – I don't fucking care. And you shouldn't either. The problem is you still care what other people think about you, and that's a big part of your problem. I had a friend of mine who was born healthy. He was serving the Coast Guard, and after he got out of the Coast Guard, he's living a great life, got into real estate, was making some decent money. And then one night he was He was hanging out with his best friend's wife, and his best friend's wife and him were drinking, and he got so drunk he passed out, and he was basically screwing his best friend's wife, some friend, right? So he's laying in the back seat of the car, you know, passed out. She's driving drunk. He's so drunk he's totally passed out. Well, she ends up running. I think it was either a stop sign or a red light. I can't remember. And there was another drunk driver of all people. This is like 2, 3 in the morning. He fucking ran right through the red light or the stop sign and T-boned the car that my buddy was riding in. And so when that happened, his whole body slid into the door and it snapped his neck. And so he was a quadriplegic. And so his arms, his hands were like this. He couldn't really hold a pen. He kind of had to, you know, squeeze his fingers together to hold a pen and to write with it. And I remember we talked about that at length. And he's had, at that time, when I got to know him, he was already in a wheelchair. I didn't know him before he was in a wheelchair. But he said there was a period, I don't know, 6 months or a year, I think it was. He was like, he wanted to die. He was like, he felt like he was the biggest piece of shit, obviously, because everybody found out that he was screwing his best friend's wife. And on top of that, now he's a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And he's like, why did this happen to me? He went through the typical things that, you know, that people that go through that kind of traumatic experience go through. But he eventually got to the point where he was like, fuck it. What can I do about it? It is what it is. So he learned how to drive. He got a car that was specially adapted for him. So he used his, you know, his crumpled up hands. He was able, he put a knob in the steering wheel. So he's able to drive with one. And he used the other hand to move the brake and also the accelerator. So he used his hands to drive. And it was interesting watching him. I mean, the car was a convertible, so we'd move the top down. He'd get his wheelchair up to the car, and then he'd slide himself into the seat, and then he would pull the wheels off his wheelchair, or actually he would take his wheelchair and like flip, you know, he'd move the seat down, he would like flip the wheelchair over and into the back seat of the car, put the top up, and then drive to wherever he was going to drive to. And then he repeated the whole process, pulled the wheelchair, dragged it over him, and he would go look at foreclosure properties, and when he couldn't get into it, he'd wheel himself off the door, and he would literally crawl into the house and kind of crawl around in the house to see what was there, and then we'd crawl back to the front door, take pictures, and he would do an estimate of what the rehab was going to be. He found a way to adapt. And one of the things that was interesting about him, he was always laughing, he was always joking, he was always smiling. And I always found that interesting. Guy was in a wheelchair, went through what he went through, he was always smiling. And he always had chicks over at his house, and he was always getting laid, and he never let it stop him. It's like basically, and I remember talking about it, he's just, once he stopped giving a fuck and he accepted the reality of the way he was, you know, he would have drunk parties and he would fucking take his wheelchair and get going, and him and his wheelchair end up in the pool. And, you know, obviously somebody would pull it out, but he taught himself to swim because obviously he couldn't move his legs anymore. They just kind of sat there. He figured it out. And girls seemed to like him. Why? Because he was always smiling. Because he was always happy. He was just grateful to be alive. And he was grateful he had a decent house to live in, he had a decent car, and he was able to have a decent life and hang out with the kind of people he wanted to hang out with. And every weekend he was partying, having a great time at his house. And girls liked him because he was always smiling, he was always happy, he didn't let shit bother him. There was another guy I met years ago, his name was Sean Stevenson. The guy's like, he's about like this big, he's about 2 feet tall. And he can't move his legs. He can move his arms and everything. And he had one of the things he was born with. It's like his you can Google his name, Sean Stevenson. His tongue is like, he's like literally his tongue is way big, too big for his face. So when he talks, the tongue just kind of hangs out of his mouth, and it's a little bit hard to understand him at times. Same thing. He's always fucking smiling. He's always upbeat. He's always positive. He just got married a year or two ago, I think it was, and he didn't let shit stop him. And he embraced the fact that he was kind of weird and kind of freaky. So he'd talk about things that he would do in his wheelchair when he'd be out in a nightclub or at a party or whatever. He'd go over to a girl and be like, "Yo, you're pretty." And he would like grab her leg and start like kind of humping her leg like a dog and just making a joke out of it and being funny about it. And the girl that he married is beautiful. She's totally healthy and normal. And like when she picks him up out of his wheelchair, puts him on the bed, obviously takes care of him. But, I mean, he's able to have a normal life, even though he's like 2 freaking feet tall and he looks like a little alien, but he doesn't care. He makes fun of himself. He's learned to love and accept himself, and if you want somebody to love and accept you, you got to accept you for you where you are. Once you start to love and accept yourself and think you're awesome, even though you're in a wheelchair and you may got disabilities that most people don't have, once you become cool with that and you're okay with that, you know, even when people make fun of you or try to put you down, as long as you don't let it get under your skin, they'll actually become your friends by doing that, because it's like, who cares? I mean, at the end of the day, all of us, nobody gets out of life alive. The only thing that really matters is what you do with the minutes of your day and how you look at your life. If you start enjoying yourself and start looking for ways, like my friend who was a quadriplegic did, and you start having a friend or a smile on your face, you're going to make yourself more attractive. You do something that you love for a living and that you enjoy, you're going to be happier. Eat better quality foods. Work out. I mean, like Sean Stevenson, he works out. I mean, guy's got a six-pack, even though he's all, like I said, he looks like something out of like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or something out of an alien movie. He works out. He takes care of himself. He's eating an alkaline diet, the type of diet that Dr. Young teaches. It's given, because when he was young, he was constantly breaking bones. People would hug him too tight and his bones would break. But because he changed his diet, he's exercised, his bones are strong, he doesn't have those problems anymore. And he's living life to the fullest, even though he could die at any moment. I mean, all of us are here for a certain period of time. We've got something to accomplish. And the way I look at life is that we choose our parents. Everything that's happening to you and all the people that are coming into your life, that's a journey that you've chosen. So if that was the case, if you were to look at the world and say, okay, I am the way I am, and the people that are in my life, the parents, they were my parents because I chose them. As a soul, what could you gain from that? What's the experience that you could gain from that? Why do you think you chose to live that kind of a life? Why do you think if you just consider it as a possibility, how would that change how you show up? You wouldn't be able to blame other people. You wouldn't be able to blame your parents anymore for your shortcomings, your flaws, your faults. You wouldn't be able to blame society. You wouldn't be able to blame people that are rich if you happen to be poor. It all is how you look at yourself and you look at life. So let's get back to this guy's email. So the other thing that I'm seeing here, he says, they use me to get what they want, and after they get it, they make excuses to leave me. That also tells me that you're tolerating bullshit in your life. You're tolerating people in your life who aren't there because they care about you. They're there because of what they can get. And you should be able to spot that behavior right away and not spend time with people like that. When you see the other people aren't sincerely reciprocating interest in you, that you are in them, keep moving, keep circulating. Because you're wasting your time because you don't feel like you're good enough. You're hanging out with people who really don't give a shit about you. They are using you. And that matches your model of the world. You don't think you're good enough to have the kind of people that you want in your life love you for you. And so you're hanging out with people that justify that belief. And therefore, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You don't think you're good enough, and so therefore you hang out with people that really don't care about you. And you keep trying to make them like you and trying to make them want to be around you instead of just continuing to circulate and meet new people. I constantly have to work on my confidence just because of the disability and the way women treat me like I'm not good enough for them. The reason they're treating you that way is because you don't stand up for yourself and you tolerate bullshit. Remember, attraction is not a choice. If you have a smile on your face and you're happy and you love life and you express your interest and extend an invitation to a woman to join you for dinner or a drink or a cup of coffee or whatever it happens to be in the evening, and their response is less than enthusiastic, hey, well, get in touch with me if you ever change your mind. And then you leave. You continue to circulate. You want somebody who literally would jump fences to be with you, not somebody who's sitting on the fence or somebody who's just like, eh. That's part of your problem. Most of the people you're interacting with people who didn't like you in the first place. And by trying to force yourself in their lives, you're inviting them to continue treating you this way. Remember, no one will ever do or say anything to you that you don't invite them to do. And by hanging out with people who really aren't of the quality, the kind of people that you really want to be hanging out with, it's demeaning to yourself. And so how can you possibly, if you hang out with people who don't value you, and then you get mad that they don't value you or they use you, it's like, it's your fault, dude. I was hoping you can give me some fun ways I can break the news that I have a disability and assure a woman it's no big deal. There's no reason to... Well, obviously, if they meet you and they see you're in a wheelchair, they're going to know that you're a little different. Don't apologize for it. Do you see most people who can walk apologizing for the fact that they can walk and stand on two legs? You don't see people apologizing for the fact that they don't walk on four legs. Think about it. Stop apologizing. If this is your journey that you chose, and you chose to have this life and be in a wheelchair because of maybe how it would humble you and it would teach you unconditional love for other people, how could you possibly be mad at anybody? Go find people who are going to love you and appreciate you for you. I want to be able to tell her that I can pretty much do what any other guy can do. I can take care of her, and I'm not going to just die tomorrow or next week. I'm not going to break into a million pieces if she touches me and shouldn't feel sorry for me. Well, use humor. It's like, just say, well, you know, because of my situation, I've learned to be a really great lover. I mean, because I just pretty much just lay there because I can't move certain parts of my body. But there's other the most important parts, I can move, baby. And I can do things for you that, be whatever it is for you. Be weird, be creepy. Like I said, Sean Stevenson would literally grab a girl's legs or like dry humping her leg like a dog would. And he says, I'm weird and creepy like that. Because he looks like a little alien. And they would laugh and giggle and he still would get laid. He's married to a beautiful girl who's totally healthy. And why is that? Because he loves himself. And he's successful. And he's successful at not only helping himself, but he's helping to inspire other people all over the world to accept their flaws and their faults and not give a fuck. Because it's like once you stop giving a fuck about the fact that you're in a wheelchair and you start loving it and embracing it and being grateful for the gift that you have, being grateful for the fact that you're alive, then other people will perceive you how you perceive yourself. And if you can't change your circumstances, the only thing you have control over is what the meaning of the circumstances that you're giving to your circumstances. It's like one of the things that Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. So there, you don't need a story of how to justify the fact that you're in a wheelchair. She says, you know, I'm really great at wheelchair races, or all you have to do is sit in my wheelchair and I'll take us to where we need to be, baby. Come up with something. Come up with something, a good, funny comeback. I mean, you know, obviously at this point in your life, you've been teased enough about your situation, so use self-deprecating humor to communicate that it really doesn't fucking matter. Again, stop trying to come up with ways to apologize for the situation you're in. It is the way you are. What you're looking for, remember, attraction isn't a choice. You're looking to find somebody who's not going to give a shit that you're in a wheelchair. You're looking for somebody who would love you for you. But the only way that's going to happen is if you first start loving yourself and accepting yourself and saying, hey, this is the way it is, man. Just like I got to the point where I accepted the fact that I had freckles and I wasn't as tall as most people. Or I wasn't as handsome as most people. Again, at the end of the day, the reason why you don't have what you want in your life is a story that you tell yourself about why you don't have it. So change your fucking story and change your life. So if you'd like to get my help personally, the quickest way is to book a paid phone, Skype, or email coaching session with yours truly. You can choose any of those options by going to my website, clicking the products tab at the top of your screen, and just follow the instructions for booking whichever option works best for you. And I will talk to you soon.